This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin and Chuang and Shaoning. Now, we're running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, because Utusan officially ceased operations yesterday. Now, we're asking you, what do you think was the main reason that led to this? Was it competition? Was it political ownership? Was it editorial quality? Do let us know what you think, because we'll be taking a look at the results of the poll throughout the rest of the morning. In the meantime, though, the KLCI remains the worst performing Asian equity market on a year-to-date basis. And to uncover why this is the case and to see if the tabling of Budget 2020 this Friday will be the long-awaited catalyst to reviving the capital markets here, we speak this morning to Anand Pathmakanan, Pathmakanthan, Head of Regional Equity Research at Maybank Kim Eng. Thank you for joining us, Anand. Now, the KLCI has declined by 8% on a year-to-date basis. Why has the performance been so weak?
A couple of fundamental reasons for that. We've had a very weak string of results from Malaysian corporates over the last couple of quarters. So if you look at the 2Q19 results, you know, we had a ratio of 2.5 for stocks underperforming versus stocks outperforming. So for every stock that outperformed our expectations, 2.5 stocks basically underperformed our expectations when it came to earnings. So that had a very negative tone for the KLCI. It also brought into perspective the fact that while the market has been underperforming its ASEAN peers, the valuations still don't stack up very well because we keep revising our earnings growth downwards. So if you look at most houses or brokers in Malaysia right now, they're forecasting negative earnings growth again in 2019, after negative earnings growth in 2018 as well. And the market is trading at about 16 times forward earnings, which if you compare to our ASEAN neighbors, it's not very attractive. Yep. You're seeing our ASEAN neighbors giving better growth at lower multiples. So that makes it very hard for us to attract foreign funds in particular to invest in Malaysia.
And in your opinion, is policy on political uncertainty also contributing factors to the negative returns of the KLCI other than weak earnings and expensive valuations?
That's more of a domestic investor issue. I think when foreign investors look at ASEAN, they tend to be quite objective about, you know, what triggers their likes and dislikes. It's very much valuation and earnings growth driven. For domestic investors, however, obviously we're much closer to home, and political uncertainties hit home a lot more. When we look at the data in terms of market trading value coming off, domestic investors not trading as much anymore, and also harder or macro data like domestic direct investment, you know, that's fallen 21% in the first half of this year. There's definitely a lack of confidence on the part of investors, domestic investors at the moment, and that is feeding into very lackluster KLCI performance as well.
And besides Budget 2020, which will be tabled this Friday, are there any other policy measures the government can take to revive capital markets?
When we look at the policy tools available to support economic growth, there are a couple. Besides the budget, we have monetary tools. And Bank Negara, we think, this is a house view, will probably reduce interest rates again to support the economy. And that would be a monetary easing by the end of this year. On the fiscal side, that's when we get to the budget. We do have room to raise government spending. We have quite strict deficit targets, which we are on track to meet. But I think like many other countries around the world faced with this economic slowdown situation, some loosening of the fiscal constraints may be required to keep our GDP numbers on track. And I would expect that to be part of the budget as well, this messaging that, you know, we may not be so strict on our deficit targets of 3.4% this year and 3% next year. So like previous budgets, you know, we don't expect there to be a major market reaction to this budget. When I talk about fiscal stimulus, a lot of it will be through tried and tested initiatives before, such as more cash transfers in one sort or the other, you know, direct cash transfers or tax reforms that are supportive of spending for the B40 group in particular and M40 as well. Again, a very tried and tested sort of stimulus that Malaysia uses, which is infrastructure stimulus. So there are plenty of projects which are either pending approval or approved but not proceeding yet. And that could be, you know, a clarification as to expediting these projects to create that multiplier effect to support the economy.
So considering all of this, Anand, what is your investment strategy going to be like going forward?
we continue to have a very defensive strategy on the market. It's unavoidable when you have very weak earnings growth and very high valuations and a lack of very visible catalysts on a 3 to 6 month view. So what we're emphasizing is dividend stocks. Very logical, given that interest rates are coming down as well, so your cash returns are falling. And dividend stocks tend to be very defensive as well. So stocks in the REIT sector, some consumer plays, you could get yields of 5 up to 8%.
Okay, are there any other sectors that you like and see opportunities in?
I think we like the oil and gas space. That is being substantially underwritten by firmer oil prices, as well as Petronas CapEx. So oil and gas is something across the entire value chain. We like Yinson in the FPSO space. We feel that it has quite a good pipeline of pending FPSO contracts that it can win. And you know that's going to provide some significant upside to valuations for them. Also, Dialog is a very defensive stock. You know, we do see a lot of expansion opportunities for the company from Pengerang. Also, even in the drilling space, we are seeing contracts becoming more generous in terms of margins, in terms of tenure, in terms of pricing. So stocks like Valesto, which has, you know, jack-up drilling rigs, we think could be interesting as well.
Meanwhile, the banking sector, which is a barometer of the economy, has also seen underperformance. So do you think the market is mispricing this?
Banks have been heavily punished for asset quality concerns, as well as margin concerns due to cutting or reducing interest rates. You know, GDP growth is still pretty solid. And when we look at corporate Malaysia and the balance sheets, by and large, corporate Malaysia is in pretty good shape. Growth is tough, but balance sheets are strong. So asset quality concerns are there, but I would not say that they are a primary concern at this point in time for us. The RHB is one of our top picks because, you know, valuations are very attractive. Also, you know, it gives you a yield of close to 5%. We also like BIMB as well. It gives you a good exposure to Syarikat Takaful, you know, which is growing very quickly.
Thank you very much, Anand. And that was Anand Pathmakanthan, Head of Regional Equity Research at Maybank Kim Eng, with some names there in the banking sector to watch out for, including BIMB, as well as he spotlighted the oil and gas industry, which was supported by oil prices. So names like Yinson, Dialog Group, Valesto Energy.
Yeah, because critically what has happened is that oil prices have remained stable and Petronas is restarting all their CapEx initiatives. So for the last 2 years, I think on the oil and gas space, what we did see from oil and gas companies was actually a lot of cash calls. There was hardly any projects. And unfortunately, the sector seems to be one of those which is like boom and bust. So hopefully now things have kind of stabilized. With Petronas spending more money, you definitely see some of the oil companies, service companies doing really well. He has a mixture of two. Defensive ones, Dialog, which is of course involved in Pengerang, which is on it's the excellent management. The PEs are not cheap. You're talking about a company that is trading at 30 times PE, but it has always delivered. So on one hand, you have the defensive oil and gas name that he recommends. Then you have the slightly, I would say, more challenging companies which are facing, like the jack-up rig guys.
Valesto.
Valesto, because charter rates in the last few years have really, really come down. There's just too much supply for charter boats. But things have kind of stabilized for the oil and gas guys. And if there's no more cash calls, then yeah, perhaps it's a sector worth looking at.
That's on the assumption you choose to go back into equity markets. And that, of course, is a big don't-know, right? He also mentioned that his best form of offense is defense and defensive REITs, for example. Mm-hmm. Then when I look at the sector, right, there's not much bargains out there. The cheapest is Axis at about 15 times earnings. But everybody else, which is of note, whether it's CapitaLand, IGB, KLCC, Staple, MRCB, Pavilion, Sunway REIT, or YTL Hospitality, they're all above 25. Sunway REIT is 15, Pavilion is 19, but they're not cheap.
MRCB is at 12, 13 times PE?
Yeah, yes. Well, KLCC, Staple is 52.
You don't usually look at REITs from a PE perspective. Because why would you buy a REIT? You buy a REIT because of its defensive earnings, i.e. you look at the yield. That's the main criteria. So anything above 4%, which is giving you higher than cash rates, there is some interest in REITs. Now, the question for REITs is, how much more can they give you? Are they looking for assets which are you know, yield accretive? That's the number one question. And then you look at the backdrop of interest rates. If you think interest rates are going up, then you don't buy REITs because the spread will narrow. But if, like what Anand says, if you expect interest rates to come down, then yes, REITs look increasingly more attractive. And they are defensive, provided the occupancy remains high, they can still push positive rental reversions, then this is a sector that, yes, I think investors might find interesting.
As a wise old man once said, ask not what your REIT can do for you, but what you can do for your REIT. So go shopping.
Well, in addition to that, Anand also had some comments on Budget 2020, including he is expecting some measures from the government for the B40 as well as the M40 groups in order to spur spending. Right now, though, we are heading into the 7:30 news, and after that, more international stories for you. So keep it here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.